The Giant's Gamble. Chapter 11, Giant Slayer. I think we should buy some drugs, Brune said matter-of-factly as a group of them strolled to the inn. They had just arrived in the town of Silvery Moon after leaving Evelyn's family manor. They were initially looking for Zimorvan Hall, where the owner of the Giant Slayer sword was said to be, according to what Urgula told Evelyn back in Tribor. However, after some discussions with townsfolk, they found the hall was another day's journey. The owner of the sword, Harthos Zimorvan, was said to frequent an establishment known as the Gilded Griffin in Silvery Moon. That was where they were headed now. If they couldn't find him there, they would have to make the extra day's journey. Drugs? Opal asked curiously. Yeah, like hallucinogens. She shrugged, not understanding. Imagine what would happen if we used a pound of that on a giant, he smirked. I'm sure that's what you were thinking of using it for, Thea rolled her eyes. They came upon the Gilded Griffin, a white wood establishment with etched gold markings around the doorframe. Rune picked up Beatrice the Tressum and stroked her fur as they entered. Excuse me, he called to the man behind the bar. Are pets allowed in here? The man looked at the odd assortment of them, spotting the Tressum, and nodded. That's fine. Rune nodded and turned back to Killian, who was just coming through the door. Hear that, Killian? You're allowed in. The sailor grunted and went to speak with the man, asking after Harthos. How'd the rest of you like to try your hands at gambling? Rune asked, looking to Evelyn especially, whose eyes brightened at the notion. It's time you put that training to good use. Bran said, I think I'll watch. And Rune took Evelyn to a table of young men and asked for a game, and Thea joined in. Killian was told to wait around until evening to see if Harthos would come by, so he settled in with the rest while Thea, Evelyn, and Rune played cards with a steady growing table of betters. Soon there were roars of laughter, shouts, and more than one sleight of hand by the gnome, Killian noticed. Eventually, with Evelyn blowing bubbles from a pipe and doing her best to distract the other players, Rune and Thea came away with their winnings, grins of victory on their faces. So, Rune said as they sat and began counting their gold, what's the deal? Do we think Harthos is going to come? Killian shook his head. I'm not sure. We may have to take the extra day of travel. I told the barman to let me know if he comes in. Let's give it a few more hours. So they sat and drank and waited. As the Gilded Griffin filled with more patrons, Rune took the opportunity to slip out of their booth and sneak behind the bar while the owner was in the back kitchens. He took out the head of broccoli he'd purchased a few days ago, which was now starting to grow fuzzy, and broke off smaller pieces and hid them around the bar, including stuffing one particularly large chunk into a corked bottle of fire water. He grinned mischievously as he returned to his companions. Arden would have been proud. You know what, Rune? Thea said with a contented sigh, sipping on her mead. I'm not even going to ask. Another hour passed before the owner signaled Killian to a man who'd just walked in and taken off his cloak. He wore fine clothing that signified his wealth. He had a graying beard of reddish hair, which was thinning at the top, and fierce gray eyes. He ordered a drink and turned to see Killian and Evelyn looking at him. Are you Harthos Zimorvan? The sailor asked. I am. Harthos grunted. Who are you? Killian introduced them. I'm Killian, and this is Evelyn Ellenbryn. We're here because we were told about your Giant Slayer sword, and we need to borrow it. Who told you about my sword? He asked suspiciously, taking a seat at the bar. Urgula, Evelyn piped up, from Tribor. Urgula. Harthos mulled the name over, then nodded. What do you need the sword for? Well, Killian sighed, also taking a seat. We were in Tribor when the recent giant attacks happened. They destroyed half the village before we could kill one and run the other off. I hate to say it, but that isn't the end of the giant attacks. There will be more. You, Harthos laughed, eyeing the small Evelyn in particular with disbelieving eyes. Kill giants! Evelyn reached into her pack, which was stained beyond all reason, and Killian was impressed the stitching was still intact with how much was stuffed inside it. She drew out one of the large giant's hearts she'd harvested. It was sticky and smelled horrible. She gave Harthos a look, tilting her head as she held it aloft. The man shook his head in shock and raised a hand, motioning for her to put the organ away. All right, I believe you. and I'd be happy to give you the sword. Unfortunately, I don't have it anymore. Killian felt his stomach sink. What do you mean? Where is it? My good-for-nothing son stole it and ran off and married some common thief in Yharta. I disowned the bastard, but I never tried to get the sword back.
So he's in Yharthar? Evelyn asked.
Harthos nodded.
What's his name? Do you know how we can find him?
His name's Hothel. I'm sure if you ask around, you'll be able to get to him.
Thank you, Killian said sincerely. If we find your sword, do you mind if we borrow it? It would be of great help to us.
Harthos shrugged. You can keep it if you like. I'm an old man who has no use for such things, and I no longer have an heir to pass it to. If the blade can be used as a giant slayer once more, then I will be proud to give it up. They thanked the man and returned to the table to give the news to the rest of their companions.
I'm so glad we came all this way, Rune said sarcastically, just to go straight back to Everlund.
They returned to Everlund after a 2 days' journey, thankful the trip hadn't been a complete waste, though Rune grumbled that they could have just as easily sent Harthos a message before making the long trek on his tiny legs. They went straight to the mage's tower, climbing the stairs and being greeted by the mage, who brought them onto the transport circle that would take them to Yharthar. This is more like it, Rune grinned, happy to be off the road. The mage touched a marking on the wall, and everyone spun as they were lifted off their feet, Rune's stomach going weightless for a second. He felt his lungs compress as they popped into existence in another space entirely. As their surroundings clarified, Rune turned and vomited, spraying the stonework in sick. Ugh! Thea jumped back before she could be splattered, but Opal wasn't so lucky. Killian shot a blast of wind at the Genasi, and the vomit was blown off her cloak and splattered on the walls behind her. She smiled up at the storm sorcerer.
Welcome to Yharthar,
a voice said, and they turned to see an elderly man in thin orange and yellow robes, his beard reaching halfway down his chest. He gestured for some younger initiates dressed in similar, if less decorated, robes to clean up the sick with magic.
"Happens more than you'd think," he told them.
"Thank you," Killian said as they all stepped off the transport circles. "We're looking for Harthel Zamorvin. You wouldn't happen to know him or where he lives?" The old man shook his head.
"Yharthar is a big city. I suggest talking to the locals. We—"
He gestured around, and they could see that they were in an open-room temple of sorts surrounded by lush gardens.
"Rarely walk the common streets."
They thanked the old man, and Killian handed him a silver.
I don't know how this works.
Then they headed into Yharthar, searching for the busiest part of town.
Killian, Rune said casually, did you just tip a mage?
Bran suggested they look for contacts in the Thieves' Guild, since Harthos said his son's wife was a thief. They'd asked around for the better part of an hour for Harthel Zamorvin and found nothing. Bran told them the guild was made up of entirely women. Rune thought that sounded terrifying, and they agreed the rogue should do all the talking should they find them. They found rooms at the Wink and Kiss Tavern and Inn, and Killian again took the lead and approached the owner, a tall half-orc man with bluish skin and thick tusks that jutted from his lower lips.
Can you tell me how to get in contact with the Thieves' Guild? We're looking for a man, Harthel Zamorvin.
The owner grunted and leaned in.
I can get you a meeting. Sunset, tonight.
He nudged a chin to point at the corner of the bar where a booth of seats and a high table were.
That table. I suggest you meet alone.
He looked over at the other five of them.
Otherwise, your guests may not stick around.
Killian thanked the shady owner, trying to himself look dark and mysterious and being rather unsuccessful at it, then returned to the rest of them. They waited until sunset, and Killian sat with Bran at the corner booth waiting for the member of the guild to make herself known. The others sat in a table nearby, hoping to listen in and react if there was trouble. A younger dwarven woman with thick, dark hair braided back stepped on quiet feet into the inn and, spotting Killian and Bran sitting, went and slid into the booth across from them.
"You gave her how much gold?" Rune asked, aghast.
"We'd better hope you haven't been swindled. Did she seem okay to you, Bran?"
The rogue shrugged. "You can never trust a thief."
"Great," Thea crossed her arms. "Well, I guess now we wait for this dwarf to come back with the information we need."
"I thought she would know Harthel, or at least his wife."
Killian shook his head, looking disappointed.
"I'm sure she'll come back," Opal smiled.
"Well, while we're waiting, I think we should send a message to Zephyros and see where he's at," Rune suggested, and they all agreed.
The gnome closed his eyes and focused on the cloud giant. Sensing his consciousness, he began to speak his 25-word message. He told him where they were and asked if he knew where they should go once they had the giant slayer sword. Zephyros answered after a minute.
I can't know for sure, but I have heard of a dragon in Crypt Garden. The dragon knows about the oracle. You could look there.
Huh, Rune said, repeating the message to the table. I don't really get it.
Who's this dragon? Thea asked.
Rune shrugged. Crypt Garden. I think that's south of Tribor. So it looks like we might be going back there after this.
I thought giants didn't like dragons, Opal said.
And what's the oracle supposed to be? Rune wondered aloud. Thea shrugged.
Oracles are seers, right?
So we'll go there, talk to a dragon, hope it doesn't kill us, get it to tell us where this oracle is, and then find out the future? See how to win and bring order back to the giants? It was Killian's turn to shrug.
It's the only lead we have, so I guess we have to try it.
Rune pressed his face into his hands. I'm so confused. Thea said,
We know we have to stop the giants, at least there's that.
Yes, but even with a giant slayer sword, we can't kill every giant in existence. Besides, some of them are like Zephyros and don't deserve killing. They're just as confused as us. We need to find this king of the giants and put him back on his throne, not go around trying to take down creatures that are much bigger and stronger than us.
We've killed giants, Evelyn said.
Yes, but they also killed many of the people fighting with us, Killian pointed out. Think about all the villagers in Tribor. Rune's right, we can't let that go on.
I don't feel worthy, Rune sighed dramatically. I need another drink.
Thea looked at all of them curiously.
What if Zephyros has gone around to every group of adventurers he meets in Faerun and tells them the same thing?
What, Killian said, that they're destined to save the world? Huh, Rune smiled hopefully. That would be nice. It would also make more sense, because I definitely don't feel destined for anything quite at this caliber. Not to mention, he hadn't heard anything from his trickster god, despite his nightly prayers to the deity of deception. Bran watched them, but remained quiet. Maybe we should quit, Rune finally said.
We can't, Opal insisted.
Right, because maybe destiny?
Opal's right, Thea fingered her porcelain mug thoughtfully. We can't give up.
Rune shook his head. Fine, but we need a team name if we're going to keep running around wreaking havoc. I want people to know who we are.
Team name? Opal said excitedly. Let's see.
Team Giant Slayer? Bran said dully.
TGS, Thea smiled.
Rune snapped his fingers and grinned over at Killian, who raised his eyes to the ceiling in silent prayer for patience.
TGS.
They spent the rest of the evening discussing their plans for when and if they found Harthel. They threw around ideas of disguising spells, following him to his house, and even using a mind-reading spell. Killian grew more and more nervous as the night wore on, and still the dwarf from the Thieves' Guild did not return.
Remember that thing I said about drugs? Rune asked again.
Yes, Thea said immediately. Well, I still think that's a good idea. Besides, I'm getting bored sitting at this tavern.
Buying drugs sounds fun, Evelyn said politely.
Let's go for a walk, Opal said. Someone needs to stay behind and wait for the dwarf, Killian said, so I guess that would be me. Rune put a comforting hand on his friend's shoulder. I can get you some extra drugs if you'd like.
Thanks, Killian said sarcastically, then added, be careful.
I'll stay with you, Bran offered, and the rest of them headed out the door into the night. Rune shot Bran a glare, but he wasn't sure if the half-elf noticed. It didn't take long for them to come across a group of men standing in a back alley, drinking and laughing and wearing clothes with just enough patches in them to suggest they were the types Rune was looking for. Rune used a disguise spell to change his form so he looked like a young halfling man with curly ginger hair. He cleared his throat and strode towards the group, Thea, Evelyn, and Opal following. Opal looking nervous, Thea looking bored, and Evelyn looking like she was ready for the deal to go sideways. In the end, Thea did the best at getting what they wanted, and Rune came away with a bag of what the man claimed was powdered unicorn horn. After a serious discussion between Opal and the man about the moral implications of harvesting unicorn horns, the man admitted he didn't know what the substance was made of, but promised it would work for what they needed. Thea smelled the contents of the bag and confirmed that they seemed legit, and Rune decided not to ask the wizard why she knew so much about buying hallucinogens.
He, himself, had never done so, and thought it would be rather prudent not to mention that now. They returned to the Wink and Kiss a short while later, and when they asked Bran and Killian if the dwarf had returned, Killian shook his head.
"I didn't realize how difficult this fellow would be to find," Bran said, crossing his arms. "If I'd known this, I would have just looked for him myself."
"We'll table that for next time, I guess," Killian said, looking embarrassed.
"If she's not back by morning," Thea said, "then I'd say we're out some gold, and we need to search Yartar ourselves."
They all agreed, and Rune and Killian stayed up while the rest went to bed, Killian scratching a fingernail into the wooden table surface, and Rune spreading out his tinkering tools and working on a tiny clockwork creation.
"What are you making?" the sailor asked finally, after watching Rune work in silence for nearly an hour.
"Hopefully," Rune said, tightening a piece, his tongue sticking out the corner of his mouth with the effort, "something we can use to distract an enemy."
"Enemy?" Killian raised his eyebrows. "Our enemies are giants. How are they going to see that thing?"
Rune shrugged and looked up at his friend. "The mighty TGS will have many enemies before this war is over."
"Are you always this funny?" Killian asked dully.
"Usually," Rune admitted. He finally finished his little figurine, which was a tiny knight in painted armor that, when a knob on his head was turned 10 times, would click internal gears forward and start walking. It was appropriately annoying, which meant it was effective. He pocketed the trinket and gave Killian an apologetic look as he went upstairs to bed.
"She came back," Killian said, looking relieved as everyone came downstairs for breakfast. He looked like he'd barely slept. "And she found Harthel. He's in prison."
"What'd he do?" Thea asked as they all sat.
Killian shook his head.
"Supposedly he murdered someone. Anyone who knows him didn't think he was the type."
"What about his wife?" Bran asked.
"She said she didn't find any sign of a wife."
"Strange.
Well, at least we know where he is. All we have to do is sneak into the prison and ask him for the sword," Rune said.
"How are we going to do that?" Opal asked. "We can't just walk in there."
"I have a disguise hat," Bran said. "It will change the way I look. I can pretend to be his father, Harthos, and go and see him. I'll lie and say I've forgiven him, but I want the sword back as a way to make amends."
"Repairing families and saving dreams, that's the TGS way," Rune grinned.
"Okay, but you shouldn't go in alone," Thea advised. "Take my Fey Owl so we can see what's happening."
Bran nodded. "Wizards are so weird," Rune said. "Why don't I get a pet that can flash in and out of existence?"
"You have a Tressum," Thea said, pointing to the winged cat that was currently lounging nearby in a stream of sunlight, licking her private parts.
"Yeah," Rune said slowly.
Killian cut in. "I think we should also send you with a couple of bodyguards, Bran. A man like Harthos wouldn't go without an escort. And that way you'll have backup in case something goes wrong with the disguise." He looked at Evelyn and Opal. "I think you two would be best."
"I can put disguises on both of you, just in case," Thea told them.
They all agreed, and once they had their disguises up, Thea deciding to change all their features except Rune and Bran, who could use magic for it, they snuck out the back of the inn, then headed to the prison.
"I can't believe it actually worked," Thea said, surprised, nearly an hour later.
"What's that supposed to mean?" Bran asked, his hat still on so he looked like Harthos.
"Well, only that our plans don't usually work out," Rune shrugged, scratching his nose, his finger passing through the illusion to his real face.
"What did we learn?" Killian, ever the one to keep them on track.
Bran explained their brief visit. "They made me leave Opal and Evelyn at the entrance while I went in. Harthel wasn't fooled by my illusion, but he says he was framed by Captain Brenner, the man in charge. When he saw the Giant Slayer sword, he was interested in it, so he got Harthel arrested for murder and took the sword for himself. The boy wouldn't tell me where his wife was." Bran shrugged, unfeeling. "So I told him goodbye and to enjoy his time in jail."
"Glad you're making friends," Rune said.
With that, they set out planning, all sitting together in their disguises in the park near the prison, Thea keeping her owl on watch duty. Thea, in her disguise, ran up to the guard at the entrance of the prison and told him she had a message for Captain Brenner. She'd forged the message expertly to look like it came from Dorathra, the Lord Protector of Tribor.
"Message. Give it here. I'll take it to him."
Thea shook her head insistently.
"Sorry, but I was given clear instructions to bring this directly to Captain Brenner."
The guard looked at her in annoyance, then called for another guard, who trotted off and returned a few minutes later, letting Thea through. She followed him into a small office where he knocked on the door, and she was allowed to enter alone. Captain Brenner stood as she came through the door, and she saw immediately the sword they were looking for. It was looped around his chair, still in its scabbard, but with an unmistakably fine hilt. Captain Brenner was a tall man with blonde hair and a matching, well-groomed beard. He stood straight and gave her a gracious nod as she handed him the letter and flashed the badge they'd each received from the Lord Protector. "Message from the Lord Protector of Tribor," Thea announced. The captain looked at the envelope, then nodded.
"What's your name?"
"Fran of Tribor," Thea said. He flipped her a silver, which she quickly pocketed. Before leaving, she pointed to the sword where it hanged. "That is a fine blade, sir." Brenner looked round at it in surprise, then said,
"Yes, yes, when you become captain of the guard, you receive many such rewards."
"Indeed, sir." He didn't respond. He was opening the envelope. Sensing he would tell her nothing more, she took her leave. They argued in one of their private rooms back at the inn about what to do with Harthel and Captain Brenner. Rune insisted they get Harthel out by proving his innocence. Bran suggested they sneak in and open his cell and leave the rest of the escape up to him. Rune told him the man would have to run and live as a fugitive if they did that. Thea thought there was no time to worry about the man, and they would have to leave him in jail. Evelyn barely listened to the argument, easily distracted as she was. Killian insisted their priority was to get the sword from the captain, which they finally agreed on. Opal was just happy to watch the exchange. Finally, it was nightfall, and the group snuck back to the prison and waited until Thea's owl spotted the captain leaving for the night with 8 guards following him. They followed the group through the city and watched several exchanges between the captain and guards with other shady fellows in back alleys. One of the guards would grab the thug, demand money, and the captain would receive the payment. Then they would move on to their next target. They did this a few times, their group watching from the shadows, before one of the thugs shook his head and couldn't offer them the demanded funds. The captain ripped out the giant slayer blade and had it in the man's gut before he could react. The thug dropped and the guards went ripping into his belongings in search of gold.
"Okay, this captain fellow is bad news," Rune whispered. "Now I don't feel so bad stealing from him."
"Oh, shoot," Thea said quickly, looking up at them in surprise. "I did something."
"What?" Killian demanded in a hushed voice.
"I think the guards just saw my owl, so I flashed it out of existence so that it wouldn't be shot down, and now..."
"Now they're looking for us," Bran swore, and sure enough, they could hear the mutterings of the guards as they spread out in the dark alleys.
"Covers up. It's now or never," Rune said.
Evelyn nodded to her companions, her white hair streaming behind her like a ghost from a dream, and she began climbing the building near them. She crouched on the roof and drew her blades and cut both her arms so the steel shimmered with dark energy.
"Right," Bran said,
and the dark-skinned half-elf ran across the alley and began climbing the building across from them. Once he was up, he took out his crossbow and took aim at one of the guards. Killian looked down at Rune, and the gnome gave a nervous nod. Bran released his bolt, and it hit one of the guards, sending the other 7, plus the captain, into high alert. Thea began to hum a soft tune under her breath, and her eyes seemed to glow with some strange power. Then she took out her longbow, leapt from her cover, and shot another guard. Rune knew she hit because he heard the grunt. Thea pressed herself back against the wall and said,
"They're spreading out, all still alive. I've caught this one in the shoulder. Looks like Bran did the same to the other one."
"Find them!" the captain shouted, giving up on being discreet. "Kill them!"
Killian ran past buildings, casting his shattering spell over a group of guards, and Rune heard one die. A second later, as Rune began summoning his duplicate, he heard a grunt and turned the corner to see the captain had caught Killian with a crossbow bolt in the arm. Opal transformed into a rhinoceros and charged. Rune nodded to his duplicate, and the two of them ran around the charging rhino and cast a giant middle finger over a guard running at Thea. The spiritual weapon of Berevar Cloakshadow, majestic mighty hand, smashed into the man, throwing him against a building wall with a sickening and deadly crunch. Bran continued to shoot bolts from his place on the roof. Rune couldn't spot him in the shadows. In the corner of his eye, he glanced Evelyn running across the tops of buildings and jumping off, crashing into another guard and slitting his throat. When she stood, her knees were skinned, but she seemed otherwise unharmed. Thea put away her bow and shot a string of lightning, which arced through the alleyway and threw everything into a momentary blinding light. A second after the lightning hit a man, the rhino's horns pierced his body and threw him lifeless to the ground. Opal snorted and pawed the ground as the other guards moved through the alley to get at her. Killian threw a fog cloud into another alley as the rest of the guards ran through. Then he ran at Brenner
and swung under the arc of the captain's blade. He took out a dagger, grabbing his shoulder from behind and pressing the blade under his chin. "Your guards are dead," Killian said loudly to the captain, breathing hard. "Your thieving days are over. Drop your weapon." Brenner roared and stomped on Killian's foot, bringing the giant slayer sword around to try and cut at the sorcerer. Killian jumped back and cast a magical, glimmering shield over his form, which blocked the blow. Killian had lied, of course. There were three remaining guards struggling to get out of the fog. Rune shot his spiritual weapon into the midst and heard it hit someone hard, but he and his duplicate were already running to protect his friend. He pulled out a short bow and caught Brenner in the leg with a tiny arrow. The captain screamed and turned on him just as a bolt from Bran zoomed from the darkness and hit him in the other leg. As Brenner turned to face his hidden rivals, Killian swirled his hands in front of him, preparing a spell. "Surrender," the sorcerer growled. Just then, Evelyn charged from around a building and body slammed into the captain, throwing him off his feet in surprise. Only when she stood did Rune see she had run him through with her blade. The blonde man stared up at the sky, choking on blood and giving up his last breath. "Your captain is dead," Thea shouted into the fog, and Killian dropped the spell. There were three guards still standing, and they looked around, blinking for a moment in confusion. Then, seeing Thea and the rhino, they tentatively approached, weapons up. "Don't say I didn't warn you," Rune heard Thea say as she shot one down. Bran shot down the other two quickly enough from his point on the roof. The dark alleys of Yartar went quiet. Bran climbed off the building just as more shouts came from the road. "Halt! Drop your weapons!" More guards. Thea turned and, with a thunderous clap, she blinked out of existence, the area around her exploding and throwing the three newcomers back, killing them instantly. She appeared a second later next to Killian. "We need to go," the wizard said quickly through clenched teeth. "Grab the sword." They heard echoing footsteps, and Bran ran to them. "There was a fourth guard. He got away," he said quickly. "We need to run. He's going for help." Evelyn picked up the giant slayer sword, and Bran went through Brenner's pockets, pulling out a dangling set of keys, which he pocketed. Opal transformed back to her Genasi form and ran up, so they were all together. "We need to take an indirect route back," Killian whispered, and they all ran as quietly as they could through the narrow alleyways. You've been listening to The Giant's Gamble by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Storm King's Thunder D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, you can visit my blog at alexisfienendahl.com or click the link provided in the show notes. You can also subscribe to my podcast so you can keep hearing stories by me. Thanks for listening.